Chapter 5. Cameras.
And action!
So the animation continued, and it continued at a good pace. We had handwritten scripts, pages of them. Our handwriting at this age was appalling. We used to only be able to get around, 8 to 10 lines of writing on an A4 page. Almost every word was spelt incorrectly, and we were making it all up as we went along. There was no methodology to our thinking. We had no beginning, middle and end, no story arc. We didn't even really know which characters were going to do what. We hadn't really worked out where the film was going, as Sahel reminded me on a number of occasions. But I was much more concerned with, how the hell are we going to take these acetate cells and turn them into a film? By now we'd drawn 80 or 90 cells, and there was no sight of being able to actually turn them into a multi-million selling multinational feature film. The type of thing that would instantly get us signed as the youngest animators ever at Disney. We talked about that a few times. That was definitely the dream as the frame started to materialise. We'd been lucky enough to get our second funding, I say funding, after my pocket money, of course, in the form of some free acetate sheets that my dad brought for us. That kept the film on track. They were great, and also they really helped keep the pace up, although they were a lot thicker than the ones we'd used previously, which meant that the images we drew didn't really sit so well over the backgrounds, because the extra thickness of the acetate left the backdrops quite dull. Anyway, we kept going on, and one day, knock knock at our office door, aka my room, and in pops my mum's friend. She'd asked me about my animations a while back, at the school gates if memory serves, and I told her of my worries about getting hold of a camera. I tried so many people, in truth, my mum and her mum, but nobody had one. She came in to tell me that only two doors from my house lived a lady called Gilly. Now Gilly, it turns out, ran a charity called Bedford Community Arts, or BCA for short. To you or I as an adult, this sounds exactly like what it is, a council-funded facility to help people video their plays, make puppets, get antisocial kids off the street and doing something with their days, etc. All very local government and very late 80s, sort of early 90s vibe. But to an 8-year-old director, Thomas Ward, this was the answer. This was his Disney. He would now be able to make his film. So, off he popped. Drawing and story writing went out of the window while we worked on this bigger prize. Knock, knock, knock. Gilly opens her door to a boy she'd only really spoken to once before, when he'd run into her garden chasing a big rat. That boy was indeed me, director and now business entrepreneur, looking for his avenue to film success, and Gilly was going to make this happen. So, back to first person, a slender and quite exceptionally calm lady, who was quite to the point and seemingly unshockable, let me come in. I sat down and talked with Gilly for a while, and it was a very similar process to the meeting I had with Sahel's mum. We talked about the ideas behind the film and why we wanted to make it. I left soon after, and Gilly got in touch to let me know she'd arranged a meeting with two of her colleagues at BCA. So along we went for our first meeting. School ended for the day, and Sahel and I, unsure of where we were actually going, set out. I had this vision in my mind of a big office on a high street in the town, a Victorian front with one of those swinging signs hanging grandly from the building. Something, you know, very visually impressive, well maintained, because surely in the film business, with all its money and fame, that was how things would be done. No. Instead, BCA was actually in the side of an old Victorian gatehouse, a gatehouse to a cemetery on the outskirts of town. Well, another lesson learned. Maybe the industry was rich, but these guys weren't? In we went, and we met a man, who visually didn't look like the guys I'd seen in the making-of programmes. He was a black man in his mid-20s with a cool hairdo and shades on, even though the room was almost completely dark. What a rock star, I thought. This was David Deans, a man who was soon to become my mentor. I say soon, it took many, many years to convince him, but that's for later. Dave said very little. He was a quiet man. When he did speak, it was often one-word answers. So I did all the talking, as usual, while Sahel filled in all the gaps that I had forgotten to explain while I was so busy talking about myself and going off topic. After 20 or 30 minutes of talking, Dave had said about 5 words. Most of those words were, no. This was not working out to be the wonder encounter I'd hoped for. In honesty, I do remember feeling incredibly deflated and actually concerned that I was selling a short and letting Sahel down. I still had the image in my mind of this amazing building full of creatives, light and airy with a sense of progression in the atmosphere. No, this was definitely an old, mouldy cemetery gatehouse, and I was in a room which looked half like an edit suite and half like a crack den. It was very dark and it smelt of cigarettes. So, we left the meeting feeling a little confused. The last words Dave said was something like, "Come back next Thursday and bring your pictures with you." We didn't know why we were going to be bringing the frames. We thought it would be because he, I don't know, was going to open a door in the gatehouse and behind that would be the amazing creative team that I'd imagined. Only time would tell. I can't actually remember if we did any more work on the project between the meeting and the next Thursday. As I mentioned, the main thing I felt was quite deflated, even though, in truth, we'd had the positive in that they'd asked us to come back. In life, I've had many, many of these occasions, and each one, however you visualise it, will play out in a different way to that which you imagined, certainly until the last few years at least. It's only with experience that I've realised the only possible chance you have of making a meeting play out the way you want it is to set an agenda ahead and know what you're going to be talking about and plan every last detail, so that when the time comes, in your mind, you know you'll get what you want and you know why you're going to get it, because every possible scenario has been mapped out. So, Thursday came, we grabbed our wooden box of frames. This wooden box was donated to me by my auntie. It originally contained some port bottles, and since then it had been used for transporting plasticine models from her house to my own. Now it was the box which we used to store our work of art, the frames of an animation that we'd invested a lot of time and emotion into. Each scene was enclosed in a small piece of paper, carefully numbered so we knew the shooting order, and then wrapped in an elastic band. We grabbed hold of our tatty, handwritten script, and we started the walk. The walk which was actually not that far at all, because BCA was only really just around the corner, about a mile from my house and half a mile from Sahel's. On the way, we had a discussion, and it went something like this. "Tom, I think we need a name." "Sahel? What do you mean? What, like Animation Army?" "Well, yeah, but Animation Army is our animating thing. If we're going to be filming stuff, we need a film company name." Sahel replied to me something along the lines of, "What, you mean like at the beginning and the end of the films where it says, in association with?" "Exactly. It'll be like Animation Army in association with Bedford Community Arts presents a something film, The Arabian Story." By the way, The Arabian Story was the name for this amazing animation, just so we're clear. So, I go on. "So it's got to be a bit like Arabian Story. It's got to be, snappy, like, you know, like Lynx Aftershave." Sahel said, "Sandstorm. Sandstorm Films." And that little moment that took Sahel, I don't know, 1.2 seconds to come up with, changed my entire life, because that word would ignite something in my mind that I'd never really be able to shake off. I loved it. Sandstorm Films. Yeah, that was it. So, we got to BCA and part of our dream had come true. Dave had, in another room that sadly wasn't full of creatives, set up a massive table with a camera hanging over the top, connected by a piece of wire to a button. Below the camera, which I later discovered was on a thing called a rostrum, there were two sets of lights and a little A4-sized area outlined in masking tape. This, we found out, was where our frames would sit. A4 frames. We then had to explain to Dave that due to cost constraints, we were working on A7 sheets, but I'd forgotten to mention that at last week's pre-production meeting, as I was too busy getting sidetracked about something probably unimportant. So, he pulled up the masking tape and reduced the outline to the size of A7. He then moved the camera and the lights. It all took a very long time for something which I thought was so incredibly minor. After this little hiccup, we were ready to go. We'd start with the intro titles which we'd drawn. The backdrops were that of desert hills, a river, a forest. It was supposed to look like the River Jordan, but in red pen without any paint. Luckily, Dave was quite impressed that two very young kids could draw the way we did. While me and Dave set about lining up the frames, Sahel quickly drew the In Association with Sandstorm Films frame, and then he traced it out onto the acetate. That would be our third frame of the day. We started with the first, and then we found out that our 4 frames per second was well short of normal video. As previously explained, it was 25 frames. Oops, we thought. Does that mean it won't time up? I wondered. No, we'll just shoot each frame 6 times and you're pretty much there, said Dave, confidently. We line up the first frame and there is not a computer in sight. Turns out the camera we're using is a Cine 8 that Dave's borrowed off a mate. He owned the trigger, though. I remember him telling me that much. Which was just a piece of steel wire that pushed the gate open for each frame exposure. It looked like one of those old wire curtain lines from the 70s, which held up an off-white voil at your nan's house. We had truly hit the big time. Animation the way I guessed that, I don't know, manga might do it in Japan maybe, but certainly not the way Disney would. We timed out our shots. Each opening credit would need to be on screen for 3 seconds, so click, 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 click. What are you doing? Asked Dave, who had, fair play to him, given me the responsibility of the camera. I'm shooting the frames we need to make up 3 seconds, I replied. Just hold the button for 3 seconds, he said. Ah, oh, this is technology, I thought. How could we possibly go wrong? On we went. We shot the credits, we shot into the second scene, tried to guess how many mouth movements we'd need for the amount of words we'd written. Keep in mind one character is female and we haven't even considered who's going to voice the characters. Something I forgot to mention at this point was that in our first meeting with Dave, the one where he didn't really say much, I told him about the red pen and filling the gaps with a computer. You remember my theory, based on the behind-the-scenes film from Warner Brothers? Yeah, that one. It was one of the things he just said, no to. During the filming, Dave quickly reminded me of this conversation and he laughed. Quite a lot, actually. As did Sahel, at why I, a small child with no experience or reason to think that this was in my grasp, thought I would suddenly be working with multi-million pound animation computers that only the biggest companies in the whole world had. I thought we would be working with multi-million pound machines and a creative team who would happily repaint all my cells just because, basically, I was too lazy to paint them myself and far too stingy to buy a black pen for £2.50. Oh, Sahel loved this. He loved it. And he was right. If I had been more like him, more patient and more sensible, I'd have known that no one in a small town like ours would have the same equipment as Warner Brothers. But then, if I'd been Sahel, I'd be the animator, not the director, right? Well, that's how I justified it to myself, anyway.